on page 162 in your pew Bible. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Love one another. Love one another. How many of you grew up in the 60s? How many of you grew up in the 70s? Those 60s and 70s, it was love, love. Boy, was it a lot of love. That's not the type of love he's talking about here. On some level, it is, in the sense that, you know, you get in touch with loving another person. You reach that time in your life when you appreciate the other person. When you appreciate other people, you don't take advantage of them. That's love. But from the scriptures today, and one of the things about the beauty of it being communion, in the lectionary there were two major scriptures, and if you looked at the bulletin last week, one of them was Exodus. And it dealt with the first Passover. Exodus 12, verses 1 through 14. Now, there's a lot of detail in that. But because we're celebrating communion, which Jesus celebrated that night in the upper room with his disciples, as they were practicing, as they were preparing to receive and celebrate, Thomas, please, celebrate this, Moses and his generation said would be celebrated from time immemorial. In this, verses 1 through 14, in verse 3, they're said, told to take a lamb for each family, a lamb of either goat or sheep, and that this lamb should be without blemish. And as we see this, how close that calls our minds to describing Jesus. This lamb that they take and sacrifice, an unblemished lamb. Take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. Eat it roasted over a fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They should eat it with their loins girded, their sandals on, their feet, and the staff in their hand, and they shall eat it hurriedly. Why? Because they were getting ready to flee out of Egypt. Moses has come to lead them out of captivity and bondage in Egypt. And Pharaoh has pronounced his own fate on his and the Egyptians by saying, "Let the firstborn male of every family, Jewish family, be killed." While the angel of the Lord, the angel of death, is going to come and visit that curse on every household in Egypt. Except the houses that have had this mark of blood on the lintel and blood on the door frames placed, this blood of the lamb that was placed on those. He says in verse 12, "It is the Passover, the lamb, Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." The blood, verses verse 13, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Warren, could you go turn the... I think we're getting feedback out of those two speakers, or the microphones up there. Isn't that, you know, very much a... exactly what Jesus did. I mean, this is an unblemished... Jesus was without sin. And he gives himself up so that when God sees the blood, when God sees us, he sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us through the blood of the Lamb. He sees us through that blood that Christ Jesus has shed for you and for me. He doesn't see the sinful you and me. He doesn't see the sinfulness in our lives. He sees only the blood. And when he sees that blood, what does he do? Does he pass judgment? No, he passes over. He leaves us. That's love. And in turn for that reason, what we are given is this Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. It's very short, 6 verses, but it says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another." Now, that's not the 60s and 70s love. Some people had it right during that time, and they were loving each other. But a lot of that stuff was, let's get eros in. We know the Greek language has many words for love. Eros, that physical love, phileo, the brotherly love. But the love that Paul speaks of here is agapeo, is that godlike love, that higher love, that love that you and I cannot hope to get to absent God working in us through the Holy Spirit. "For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." Remember, Paul is writing to this church in Rome that is made up of a lot of Jews who are following the Torah. They're following Exodus 20. They're following the Ten Commandments. They're following the law. That's how they know that they're living in a right relationship with God, because they're following the letter of the law. Well, sometimes you and I both know that you follow the letter of the law, but we miss the intent. Or in following the letter of the law, we miss the intent. Or we don't even care about why we're doing it. We're just doing what we're told to do. God tells us we need to have the right motive for doing these things, and it's love. "For one who loves another has fulfilled the law." Now, that's not saying done everything that the law requires, but fulfilled the law. "The commandments." Now, these are taken from 5 through 10. "You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Love is the fulfilling of the law. when Jesus was being quizzed or questioned or challenged by the leaders of the Jewish church, some of them came up to him and said, "Rabbi, what's the greatest commandment?" Because they figure they're going to trap him. Because there are 10 commandments, and if he chooses any one of them, any single one of them, then they can argue against him on the other 9. And Jesus says what? "Love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength." And heart, mind, soul, strength. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second is no less than the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Bingo! Those guys had to hang their heads and walk away because he just spread it all out. He only said 4 things, but the first 4 are captured in the first one. Love thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet. You're not going to commit murder. And, okay, some people say that the scripture says thou shalt not kill. There are some translations that say that, but the true meaning is thou shalt not commit murder. If someone's coming at you with a gun and the only way you have of stopping them from killing you is to kill them, that's not murder. If someone's getting ready to kill your child and the only way you can stop them is if you kill them, that's not murder. I know there's some that say, well, it says thou shalt not kill. And there's no reason for murder. There is no reason for murder. But that's what the scripture says, murder. Murder is taking one's life unnecessarily. If there's any other way. But Jesus says, you know, because they focus on these do nots and the do's. What Jesus is saying is, look, love your neighbor as thyself. You're not going to do all those things. And if you follow that and adhere to that, then you're not going to do any of those other things. And if you don't do any of those other things, you're cool. You're good. You have fulfilled the commandments. The commandments are not telling us how to get to heaven. They're telling us how to live in relationship with God and live in relationship with our brothers and sisters. We cannot get to heaven because we follow the 10 commandments. Because guess what? None of us can do it. None of us can, without fail, do all of those 10 commandments. How many people have driven down a highway? How many of you have been cut off by somebody? Now, you may not have thought about murdering them. Anybody in here tell a little white lie? It was just a little one. It's just a little one. Just a little one. I stretched the truth a little bit. I prevaricated. I made a mistake. All of those things are sins. All of those leave us in a zero or a negative balance when it comes to judgment day. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the blood of the Lamb. It's only by His body given, His blood shed, poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sin. That's why we come before this table, before our Maker, before our Lord and Savior, before our Redeemer, because in the rest of the Scriptures it says, besides this, do you know what time it is? Don't look at your watches right now. Because I guarantee you we're not getting out of here at 12. Not going to happen. Might be 11:59 and it might be 12:05. Who cares? How it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. This night is not far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. What does that mean? We got to put on a piece of armor? No. And it has to be light colored? No. He's saying those things that are dark, those things that are deadly, those things that demean another person, we're not supposed to take those on. We're supposed to put on an armor of light, not night, but of day. the things that we do in the light of day that we know that everybody else sees we're doing them, those are the things we should do day or night. The things that we do at night because nobody else is going to see what's going on. Nobody else is going to know what we're doing. We do those because we think they're hidden. You think God can't see what you're doing? I don't care if there's a bright sunshine or whether you got the lights turned off. God sees what you're doing. And not only does he see what you're doing, he knows why you're doing it. Ouch. You know, the beauty is, in spite of all that, in spite of him knowing everything that's going on in our hearts and our minds, he forgives us and loves us anyway. All he asks us to do is surrender. Surrender that personal, I really like that. I really like that. I like doing that. Those are the things we're not supposed to do. Why? Because they're not right for us. They're not good for us. They're not good for others. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, debauchery, licentiousness, not in quarreling, not in jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. I need to lose some weight. Boy, how often I satisfy my desire, my hunger for fried chicken, pizza. Ooh, that soda pop is really good. How many people hear it called soda pop? Yeah, I grew up. It's a can of pop. Oh, that's soda. I love it. You and me both, Thomas. You and me both. But those desires of the flesh, those things that we do in the night of day because we think God doesn't see it, he does. What we're supposed to do is take on the armor of light. You know, when you read Ephesians 6, verse 10, put on the full armor of Christ. Take on Christ. He will get us through the day. Nothing else will. Nothing else is going to. When we come forward and we partake in this supper, when we receive these elements, this bread, this body given, this blood poured out, shed for us, it is so that we can go back out there changed. Not just ordinary you and me, but walking out there with the armor of light on. Not that we're perfect and we know everything. It's like, I love Jesus. My name's not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but when they threw them in the fiery furnace, who was there with them? It wasn't just three people there. How many were there? Nebuchadnezzar saw four. When you're out there in the heat and the temptation and the toil, who's with you? Jesus is. When everybody else slinks away, who can you count on? Jesus and his love is extraordinary. His love is extraordinary. And you know what? You don't have to be an extraordinary person to come up here and receive it. Matter of fact, you can be a downright ordinary person and come up here and receive it. Matter of fact, you can come up here and be the lowest of the low. And every single one of us before that cross at this rail is equal before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nobody is better. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care who your parents were. I don't care who you think you are. In the eyes of the Lord, you are just like you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. We are all equal before the cross. And when we walk back out there, keep that in mind. We're all equal before the cross because it's greater is he that is in me and you than that which is in the world. Love. It's a debt that we can never repay because we're supposed to love one another. This is something that none of us can ever fulfill, because every time we think we've loved enough, there's more that we could do. It's one of those debts that we can never repay. One of those debts that we can never fulfill. Because there's going to be somebody else in your life and they need love too. Love them. And God will love you. And through you, them. And through them and each and every one of us, God's love reaches everyone in all the world, in all of creation, for all time. Love one another. Fulfill the commandments. Shalom. Peace.